the Holy Gospel according to John.
We trust in you, Jesus. You're all that we need. Your power will pull us through. We're trusting in you. We're trusting in you. You give us hope and life that's forever. You make us whole and we stand together. Your power will pull us through. We're trusting in you. We're trusting in you. We're off on this journey. There's no looking back. With Jesus to lead us, we're on the right track. Oh, 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 oh. Wide open spaces for wide open eyes. We're looking ahead for the next big surprise. Oh, 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 oh. We trust, we trust, we trust in you, Jesus. You're all, you're all, you're all that we need. Your power will pull us through. We're trusting in you, we're trusting in you. Hope and life that's forever. You make us whole and we stand together. Your power will pull us through. We're trusting in you. We're trusting in you. We're off on this journey. There's no looking back. With Jesus to lead us, we're on the right track. Oh, 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 oh. Wide open spaces for wide open eyes. We're looking ahead for the next big surprise. Oh, 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 oh. We trust, we trust, we trust in you, Jesus.
Serve a different congregation, we started to realize, you know, if we keep all this stuff, we're just going to have to move it all. We decided there were going to be three piles of stuff, stuff to keep, stuff to give away, stuff toss out, get rid of. Well, as we started doing that, there wasn't very much going into the two other piles, give away, get rid of. I had an idea. Let's make a rule. If one of us decides it's going to go, somebody else or the trash bin, the other person can't veto it. Well, that worked on that move to lighten our load so we didn't have so much stuff. I've noticed what was also slowing down the process of going through stuff was the memories that are stirred up as we look at our stuff. Oh, yeah, we look at something that reminds me of a fond time I had when we were using this together. Or it can be, oh dear, that reminds me of something that didn't go well. Ooh, I don't want to think about that. It gets tossed aside quickly. Tossing it aside doesn't mean you're not going to keep remembering. however. There's a woman who got a tattoo. She got this tattoo so that when she looked at it, this would be a constant reminder for her about the special relationship she had with her boyfriend. She enjoyed her tattoo until the couple broke up. Then the woman's tattoo seemed to be an old, silly thing. The woman realized, even if she removed her tattoo, her memories of the time she and her boyfriend shared together would still be there. She decided to give her tattoo a makeover. She added symbols to the tattoo with some hindsight, looking back on her relationship with her boyfriend, as she thought about lessons learned from this relationship. Hindsight, we say, is 20/20. Like how good it was we kept an old something for future use, even though most of it we haven't touched in 5 years. Foresight can only see a fuzzy picture of things to come. Like how a large percentage of our stored stuff we're never going to see or touch again until someone else maybe clears it out after we're gone. It is remarkable to me how the prophets of the Old Testament spoke to the Israelites with a great deal of hindsight, lessons learned as people of God together, but also about lessons needed to be learned. Inspired by God, the prophets spoke with foresight. They warned people about what they were getting themselves into by their immoral behavior. And then they would add a prediction of the coming of Christ to save any of us from how after we get what we want, we no longer want what we've got. This happens, the prophets warned, when our Creator and Savior hasn't been in on our living. Like the lady who came to my office one time, quickly told a story of regret she had in her life. After she was done telling her story, I asked the question, "So where was God in all this?" She said, "I don't know, I wasn't thinking about that." I said, "That's the problem. Our Maker, our Creator, our Giver of life wants to be in on our living with us." The prophets, with foresight, warned, and then gave prediction of Christ coming. This all was a way of saying ahead of time, "I told you so. There's going to come a time when you're going to hear the message of the prophets, 'We told you so.'" Well, and "I told you so" is a hard message to hear at any time. With hindsight? Or ahead of time, when it means you've got some lessons to learn. You got some lessons to learn that will only come with experience that you are going to need to remain hopeful about as maybe you go through some tough times and come out with some lessons learned. But only if you keep your eyes ahead on being hopeful, God, your Creator and your Savior, is in on it with you. A corrupt king of Israel named Ahab didn't like the prophet coming to him, warning him. "You got some lessons to learn about how you've been treating people, corrupt as you are." The king responded by making Elijah, the prophet, run for his life. Elijah ran for his life first, not hopeful. He just wanted to die. I'm tired of this wicked king after me, Lord, let me just die. But the Lord sent an angel to him to encourage him, to feed him, to give him hope along the way. We need a game plan for dealing with things after the fact, what we've gotten ourselves into, and for dealing with things we can't see that are coming. We need a game plan for living with hope. Hope for carrying on in spite of things we regret. Hope for being able to talk about things we think we see are coming. Oh, to be able to see things ahead of time we are going to live to regret. Well, the tough thing about such things is, if God told us ahead of time, well, here's what's going to happen. You want to know what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. Tell you what, it's going to go like this, 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 and this. Would that help us, really, to be ready for it? Like the prophets warned the people of Israel. If warned, that doesn't mean we know what to do about the situation ahead of time any more than knowing what to do after the fact. Short on foresight. And in spite of things we regret, we just need a lot of hope to keep on going as the Lord keeps on teaching us. Sometimes not in the most teachable kind of people we need to be. A list of five common things in life people have admitted they regret. Number one, education. Sure wish I'd gotten more education. A common regret. Number two, career. Sure wish I was doing something else for my paycheck. Number three, relationships. Sure wish I was with a meaningful, significant other. Like the woman with the tattoo. Number four, parenting. Sure wish I'd have been a better parent. I like to think I'm a better grandparent. Finally, leisure time. Sure wish, looking back, I spent more time playing instead of all the work that crowded out having fun with people. Trying to ignore regrets as though we simply choose to wipe away the bad memory of them leads to new regrets without having worked through the past ones, which escalates to the anger the sun does not go down on. More regrets without hope only sees more things to complain about. And that leads us to our gospel reading. In the gospel reading, all Jesus had to do was act like a leader, talk like a leader, say, "I am the bread of life who came down from heaven," and people started complaining. Like I've learned to tell people in the church, after I listen to a good idea that somebody comes up with, then I say, "Okay, who's going to lead this good idea?" To which this response often is, "Well, I'll help, but I'm not going to lead it." And I know why. And let's just be upfront about it. If you want to lead something, put on your target shirt that says, shoot here. Expect your good idea to be shot at. All it took for people to start complaining was for Jesus the Son and act like a leader. Israel had a long history of corrupt kings, and they had a history of not treating prophets well, who warned them about cleaning up their corruption and not cooperating and working well together as a people. Israel's history taught them to just be cynical. Like it can happen when somebody comes up with a good idea. And the reaction is, that'll never work. Right out of the blocks. Even though it may be an idea that's come from a bunch of other people who've already making it work. As Jesus emerged as a leader, cynics thought, good luck, Jesus. And complainers responded, who do you think you are? And Jesus presented himself as a hopeful leader. That's who he was. And people reacted to what he said like people react to something when they hear somebody talking about education, maybe. Since only 62% of South Dakota students are proficient in English, I heard the other day. 62, 64%, can't remember exactly, something like that. That's the bad news. Good news is that's higher than the national average. But what about continuing to work on doing this thing of educating kids better? That'll never work. Just talking about better education. Just talking about creating better, good-paying jobs that pay a livable wage. Just talking about better relationships with people so they know how to act and treat one another as they're pondering whether to get vaccinated or not. Just talking about having a balanced life. Would you know what to do with more time if you had it? More leisure time. Better to expect the worst from cynical leaders voted into office by cynical citizens than to hope for the best from hopeful leaders voted into office by hopeful citizens? Is that kind of the attitude many are stuck in having in our day? To get rid of that bitter taste in our mouth, we need to clean it out with something different and hopeful. Hopefully different, different because it's hopeful. In spite of the complaining, the hopeful leader, the Christ, sent by God to his people, led the way through regrets in life with hope. Jesus gave reasons for people to be hopeful with his forgiving, compassionate love from him, and by kindly meeting people's physical and spiritual needs, the best response to complaining, kindness. Without hope in God's forgiving, loving kindness, we live to regret not making a getaway when we see negative people coming our way. Like the day Jesus could have regretted, the day he said, I'm not going to be a carpenter anymore. I'm going to go out and lead people. That brought on the complaining. And he didn't get away when the getting away was good. Thankfully, he hung in there what started out as complaining about Jesus, like we read about in the gospel reading, continued until Jesus could have regretted that day. He stepped into his ministry. The day came for sinful cynicism to finally stick him on a cross. All along the way to the cross, Jesus kept shaking the dust of complaining off his feet throughout his whole ministry until the day came for him to die for sinful complaining that is only good for stealing hope. Christ left complaining behind along with the tomb with resurrection hope. Christ turned our reasons to regret things in life into godly alternatives with hope from him. Like making a tattoo you don't like into one you do like. Like instead of complaining, how about learning a new, improved way of doing something? Amen.